Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Red Sox are down to their last strike in the ninth inning. Jeff Hoffman against Gonzalez, pitch is right down the middle, called strike three. And the game with a bitter taste is over.
It's over.
Red Sox fall to the Blue Jays by a final score of 5-3 and drop the series. They are now 41-44.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe today. Taking all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We were talking Celtics. We were talking Bruins last hour. Let's get back to the Red Sox.
Red Sox?
If you want to, yes.
If they want to be like the Mammoth.
Don't pluralize it.
Red Sox.
A singular.
The Boston Red Sox. Just one.
Just one of them. Left or right. The way they're going, though, this weekend, they dropped 2 out of 3 again.
I hate watching this team right now.
They continue to. Wait, who was that again?
That's Hogdale.
Oh, that was Hog. I forgot about that.
Hog is going through it right now.
He was, I didn't check up on his, I was in Maine this weekend, Mego. So
no
I was,
excuse. They have plenty of Wi-Fi up there.
I should have.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you, Maine. Very, very exclusive. And no, I hadn't kept up on him over the weekend. So yeah, we'll have to see if he's really going through it. I imagine he is, as most Red Sox fans are. Dropped 2 out of 3. They are not playing well since the Rafael Devers trade. I like that trade more than most. Even I can admit it. It's not going great.
Although for either side.
I was going to say, it's not going great for the Giants and Devers either, if we're being honest. But what we care about is here and how the team has played since that trade. I do think this series kind of sums up the Red Sox pretty well. They lose the series, but they outscore their opponent because they hammered them 15-1 in the middle game. That's how you can be 41-44, 3 games below .500 with a positive scoring differential. The runs come in bunches, but they don't happen often enough. Nothing really aligns with this team. Key says this all the time. That's a hallmark of a bad team. On the nights where they pitch well, they can't score. On the nights where they score, they don't pitch well. That is what bad teams do. And this has been a bad team now for the last few weeks and really for the last few years. And it seems like they're in the exact same spot they've been. So, no, this kind of summed up their entire season this weekend against the Blue Jays. Big series. They lose another one.
Yeah, this team has no identity. They have no consistency. You don't know what team you're getting on any given night. Except when Garrett Crochet is out there, you go, okay, we're at least going to get a good start from him. Other than that, Aroldis Chapman. Those are the two pieces I think that you can look at now at this point and say, these are two guys who at least we know what we're going to get. Any other night, it's like, I don't know. You got to cut some slack to somebody like Roman Anthony, who's just getting his feet wet in the majors. But it's like, nobody knows who Jarren Duran is this year. You could be getting somebody just exploding at the plate and then they disappear for 2 weeks. You could get a nice start from somebody else for 2 games in a row, and then they just disappear. It's like there's no consistency. There's nothing that they found where you go other than those two pitchers and say, that's their bread and butter. That's the kind of team they are. When they see a team like X, they will respond like Y. It's just any given night, who knows what's going to happen. It's a coin flip with this team.
Yeah. I mean, most nights, unfortunately, you have a good idea they're probably going to lose, at least more often than not, with the way they've been going. So I'll ask you, I asked you this earlier. I heard Greg and company talking about this morning. I mean, are they done? Is it, as Nick played for us there, is it over? Because it feels like they're getting close to it if they're not there yet.
They're not done, but they're on life support. And in a way, to me, that's more irritating. Because if they're done, then you can at least start talking about selling off these pieces and you're going to lean into the kids and that's what it's going to be about, developing all that in the second half of the year. But again, every summer we sit here and they're around this line. They're mediocre. You wonder what they're going to do at the trade deadline. Which pieces are they going to continue to develop and build? And who, like, in my opinion, Aroldis Chapman is worth moving on from because it's just kind of like a rental anyway. Like, I'm just so tired of it. It feels like there is this underlying thing with the team for the last several years where at best they're mediocre. And it's starting to feel like it's too generous to call them that. because they're just kind of bad every year. They're just kind of bad every year.
You know what's crazy? They actually were way better than we all remember last year. Like on July 1st last year, they were four games over 500.
I remember because Arcan was talking about it endlessly. Arcan was like, as soon as they get to 10 straight wins, and I'm on the bandwagon and I'm not getting off.
No, not 10 straight. They had to be 10 games over 500.
Oh, that's what
cut off.
That's what it was.
I think they got to nine, certainly
he
in the second half of last year. Yeah, they were, last year was to a degree like a feather in the cap for Cora. Bad roster. He maximized the roster. By the way, that team last year was 13-11 without Rafi Devers, just to harp on that. I don't think it's all about trading Devers. I think these problems, I'd agree with you, run deeper than that. But we do forget, like, until they fell off a cliff after the trade deadline last year, and really in September last year, they were somewhat competitive and maybe even overachieving last year. But largely, I agree with you. It's, you know, 4 years of this. Two last place finishes. They were 500 last year. They're under 500 right now. 3.5 parts of 4 years. So what's the common thread there? It's not Breslow. As much as people hate Breslow these days, and I guess you're right to not believe in him. I like a lot of the moves he made, but if you tie it directly to Devers and you think the team's nosediving because of that, well, then fine. But you can't put it all on Breslow these last couple of years. He wasn't here. You know, Bloom lost his job because of where things were heading with the team. So the common thread to me is ownership and, by proxy, Cora. I mean, that's what's wrong with the Red Sox. It's not Devers is now gone. Different players have come and gone. Different GMs have come
mostly
and gone.
Gone.
Yeah, well, mostly. So, you know, I think those are kind of the commonalities. And I do wonder how much longer they're going to go forward with Cora, because I do think Breslow these days, and this is a recent shift for me, I think Breslow's safer than Cora after the Devers fallout from the Kansas City meeting and the way Cora handled it. I now think he's on better, more solid footing than Cora, and I don't think it's a lot Cora makes it through the year. I don't.
When you say he's on more solid footing with ownership, do you think that means that he wields more power at this point? Because I'm very curious.
I would say yes to that. Yeah.
After this Devers trade and all this information that continues to trickle out from different reporting sources, whether you believe them or not, there's a lot of information that comes out of there, and I'm starting to get the sense.
That Cora's the source, me too. I agree. With all the bad information that comes out, yes, I agree.
No,
Cora's the source.
No, that Breslow is so much more powerful in this front office than I thought he was. Honestly, like, at this point last year, I was like, Breslow is just the new Bloom. He's just taking marching orders. And for the most part, he'll be able to make a little tweak here or there. But it's really about what ownership wants to spend and what they're willing to do. And now I'm starting to wonder if Breslow and maybe Theo Epstein is, like, you know, either the devil or angel on his shoulder, depending on how you see him these days. If he's turning around and telling ownership, like, this is going to be both cost saving and smarter. And so they're letting him run a little wild.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to understand, too. The fans might not be happy with the Devers trade. Ownership is. Like, ownership was fully on board with the Devers. They didn't care about the return.
Oh, especially after John Henry has a face-to-face with Devers, and they come out of it, and Devers says, I'm not freaking playing defense again.
Two meetings, according to Passan. They met with him, then Henry had breakfast with him again the next day, which, to be a fly on the wall for that breakfast, I would have loved to have seen. What John Henry and Rafael Devers eat at that breakfast, I would have loved to have seen both.
Order? Breakfast is a really awkward business meeting.
You think so?
Yeah. Breakfast food is kind of gross to eat in front of other people.
Yeah, I can see that. Like a runny egg.
Yeah. you get a big scramble. Like, there's a
or
lot
like a bagel with cream cheese. There's a smear all over your face. Like, you don't want that.
Devers ordered like a triple decker of chocolate chip French toast. And John Henry's like, that's it. Stands up. And he's like, get him out of here. And
that sounds so good, though.
And Sam Kennedy chewed John Henry's food for him. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it went something like that. Yeah.
Everybody got something small. He got the Hungry Man meal.
Yeah. A couple of them. It was multiple meetings, to your point. And no, I think Henry was done then. So, like, fans might be pissed about the trade. Understand that ownership is fully on board, but ownership directed it, for God's sakes. So when I say Breslow has more power, I guess I would answer it that way. I would answer yes because of that. And I think Cora's the one on less solid footing for sure.
So it makes me wonder if then you look back at the situation of even before getting to the John Henry scenario of having to have a meeting with Devers, that basically it sounds like Cora was like, it's going to hurt the relationship between Rafi and I too much if I tell him he has to move positions again, which I don't buy it all. Like, if you're taking that, that's ridiculous. That's part of your job. You have to tell the players that they have to move positions.
Well, not only is it your job, it's the thing we've always been told he's good at.
Right.
Like, it's the thing he's supposed to be best at. Yeah.
He understands the player. He's been in their shoes, so he can do it. Well, he couldn't do it in that scenario, so he basically has to turn and tell Breslow, and then Breslow gets reamed out through the translator by Devers. Like, it makes me wonder about where the relationship stands between Cora and Breslow, which is why I ask.
I don't wonder. I don't think it's
good. Who wields more power? And if Breslow is like the favorite son, the number one boy within the Red Sox franchise right now, I think that's really bad news for Cora.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to go too far with it because the text line brings this up. Breslow is like the 11th choice or whatever. True. But since then, he's saved him a bunch of money, and he's brought in guys like Crochet and Bregman, and I would guess ownership, even if they weren't initially high on Breslow, I'd imagine that he has carved out more power. You've brought up Theo now a couple of times, which I find interesting. I want to circle back to that in a moment. But do you think Cora has more power than Breslow, or who do you think holds more power? Answer your own question.
I think right now Breslow.
Me too.
And I would have never guessed that a year ago, but the way that this team continues to perform with the same mistakes and inconsistencies year after year, you've just run out of other fall guys. You've run this franchise loves a fall guy. They love being weaselly behind the scenes and making it look like somebody else's fault that they're not in the playoffs. And I think you've gotten to the point where now there's nobody left. Like, unless it's John Henry and ownership, and it will never be because they own the team. So they, at the end of the day, control everything.
They're invested in, you know, Fenway Corners and the big building behind the Green Monster and all that stuff. What do I think of what?
The Fenway, all the renderings that came out from Fenway Corners. Like the little shopping plaza they're building there and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand why ownership would want to do that. It's really, at the end of the day, I guess not that different than Patriot Place.
Does it need it? Like, that's my question. I feel like Fenway is so built out. Do you need more of that?
Well, I mean, but they're just chasing more money, which I understand. I just don't like doing that at the sacrifice of the baseball team, which is kind of what feels like is going on. So that,
how many
that I don't
Sephoras
like.
Do we need next to the ballpark?
I'll tell you what. You know what I could use? You know what I could use, though, Nick? I could use a nice... Nobody sells headphones anymore. Like, I'm trying to go into a brick and mortar to buy headphones. I ruined my headphones.
Best Buy or something like that.
I know. Where's the closest... There's no Best Buy in the city anymore, I don't think.
Go to Target.
Go build one of those. Can I get a good set of headphones at Target?
Probably.
I don't like ordering them. I don't like ordering them and waiting for them to show up and see if they fit on my head. I don't like it.
So give me
a good brick and mortar by Fenway, okay, and then I'm on board. Yeah.
I was on my way down to Gillette, and I realized I didn't have my earbuds. And so I stopped in at the CVS in Milton, and I was like, where are the earbuds? Are they behind the counter? Woman looked at me like I had three heads. She was like, you're trying to buy earbuds
at CVS?
I'm not an earbuds
guy. Yeah.
I was like, they're just headphones, like a wired headphone. Do you have that? She was like, no, you're going to have to go to Target. Like, what? She was like, maybe Walmart. I was
at CVS.
CVS is supposed to have everything.
They'd have them locked up, though. They'd be like, oh, you need headphones?
Well,
I'm sorry. They're behind plexiglass.
My deodorant's locked up now. Why are we locking up the toothpaste?
Well, I'm sure because you can make the...
What can you make out of toothpaste?
I don't know. Toosie? pink cocaine, I'd imagine. I don't know all the ingredients that go in.
A bag full of princess toothpaste? That's what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, sir. Our butted headphones are locked up behind the glass. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number and your text line. Good text here. Holy flashback. I just tuned in, heard you two, and instantly thought Arcan's out sick again. That's true. That's honestly very accurate. You're like, wait a minute. Why is Arcan sick again? No,
got strep throat for the 40th time.
No, he's just on vacation this week is what he's doing. Dave is in Springfield. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking it. You know, this all goes back to Henry. You know, why would anybody want to come to Boston and play? I mean, obviously Bogart, Mookie Betts didn't want to play here anymore. He didn't hear what he wanted to hear right away, so he left. But what they did to Bogarts, I think, just started a really ugly trend. And Cora's job is to keep the players happy. If they're not going to win or make a lot of money, he's going to be a player-friendly manager. And it's just a shame to watch it all happen. I wish Henry would just realize that, you know, he can't feel a competitive baseball team because he doesn't want to spend the money.
Yeah, well, hang on, but you just answered your own question. If he spends the money, he'll get the player. It's why he got Bregman. It's why He got, I mean, there's a lower level addition, but Chapman, I mean, if you're going to give a guy the best offer, they're going to come here. They don't, I mean, what do you think about Bregman, by the way? So I heard Chris and Greg talking about this morning. Chris seems to think it's because Boris is representing Bregman, and Boris was squawking last week about a new contract for Bregman. It's like a fait accompli. He's going to opt out. I would be shocked. Bregman's been off the field for 2 months, or by the time he comes back, it'll be like 2 months. I'd be shocked if he opts out. I'd be stunned if he could get more than $40 million a year on the open market. Like you said earlier, you'd think about reworking the deal if you were the Red Sox, or at least getting him to an extension. I would call his bluff, and I love Bregman. I love that signing.
You would let him try out the market?
I don't think they're going to. He's not going to get $40 million on the open market. So I'd say go out there and try to get better than $40 million and then come crawling back. This is the best you're going to have, and opt in. Like, I think Boris is squawking because, of course, it's good business for Boris to try to get an extension right now for his player.
They're not going to opt out
because the money won't be there. I'm sorry, what?
Has he started any Dr. Seuss rhymes yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I've heard.
Because when he starts doing that, that's when you know he's getting dangerous.
Got it.
That's when you know the bluff, you've called too much, you've bluffed too much. He's like, that's his tell, that he's feeling himself.
When he starts rhyming.
When he starts telling the Dr. Seuss rhymes. I would like them to rework the deal, I don't want them to test it with Bregman. I don't think that they're in a position with their roster where he's top three player on the team, if not top two.
Oh, I think he's their best player. And so, but I don't think he's going to get more money on the open market. And to answer the
call, it works in his favor that he's been injured and away from the field. I mean, it works in the team's favor,
yes,
rather.
Correct.
That they're going to be in a better position where it's not like he's showing out and an automatic all-star and then going to be able to go out to the market. I get that. I just don't think that this front office in any iteration has proven themselves very good at letting players test the market and holding on to them.
Well,
and saying they haven't demonstrated, okay, even though you like Breslow, I don't think they've demonstrated a great understanding of what the value is out
there. But with Betts, you knew there was more money out there. There's not more money. Do you think Bregman's going to go out on the open market and get more than $40 million?
No, but what if it gets to a situation where he then wants to just shake his butt at this front office because it's dysfunctional.
But I'm telling you, I personally don't think that's the case, to answer the caller. He said guys aren't going to want to come here.
Yeah.
And my example would be, well, if you pay them, they will. Bregman's the example. And
yeah,
so
I think
Bregman would hold his nose. I don't think he's thrilled about how it's going, but he's going to stay here because it's the most money.
Yeah, I would like a situation where they could figure it out where he's not just staying here for next year, but they could work out something beyond that because he's got so many outs in this deal and they have moved on from Rafael Devers. Like, you made the decision by moving on from Rafi that it's going to be a Bregman team. So actually make it a Bregman team. I don't like the whole just let him go out and test it so that you can save yourself a couple million dollars here and there. Like, quite frankly, I just don't really care that much about them.
No, I mean, look, admit it. I'm not going to have an issue with them handing him an extension. I just think I wouldn't overreact to Boris squawking about a new contract.
No.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I know what Boris is doing. Boris is trying to get
doing his job.
Correct. He's doing a really good job. I just wouldn't fall for it if I'm the Red Sox because I don't think there's more money out there. I like the deal they have in place for him. I wouldn't touch it, personally.
He's got no leverage, really.
Yeah.
Other than being one of the only good players on the team right now.
It's a risk, and you bring up they don't exactly have a great track record with it, which is fair. 617-779-7937. I mentioned this weekend I was in the state of Maine, again, early candidate.
Why do you keep bragging about
for
that?
For brag of the week. I do like this text that said, I can't believe somebody let you into our beautiful state, Jones. I got bad news for you, Maine. I'll be back there for the 4th of July.
What?
Yeah. Back up. I'll be
sick brag, bro.
Jones, step off my corner. Are you trying to, like, take over Maine?
I'll be double dipping in Maine. So not only was I allowed in there, I'm coming back, state of Maine. So get ready for it. Although, as another Texan pointed out, not for the Boothbay Regatta. That pitch did not go over well with the higher-ups when we brought it up.
The Boothbay Regatta?
Yeah. Oh, you never heard? You're Miss Maine over there. You never heard of the Boothbay Regatta?
I don't.
It's a regatta in Boothbay.
I don't go around Boothbay a lot, to be honest.
How far is that?
It's north of Portland. It's like an hour.
An hour north of
maybe an hour.
Yeah, that's Maine too, I think, is how they refer to that. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Bruins later on this hour. More on the Celtics as well. Plus, what should the Red Sox do at the trade deadline? To me, they are right on the line. You're three games in it, come trade deadline, come the All-Star break even. I still want you to go after a playoff spot. But if you get any worse and they're teetering right on that line, they might have to look themselves in the mirror and start selling. So which direction should the Red Sox go? We'll get to that.
podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed every second of playing with him and being his teammate. I think he's one of the smarter baseball players I've played with. He's really good. Just that little things and his approach and game plan. And, yeah, obviously I was shocked, but it's well above my pay grade. What I'm supposed to do.
Alex Bregman with some love for Rafi Devers. I don't know how much I buy any of that. He's like, great teammate, smartest teammate I ever had. What did you say about it?
Great teammate.
Oh, you're honing in on, we all have these
crutches. We all have verbal crutches. It's very difficult. Mine's, I mean, a lot. I mean. When someone points out one to you, I was talking to my agent
a few months ago. I have a bunch of these. Oh, you were talking, your agent was telling you this?
And he told me, I was looking at something you did. You were saying something really annoying. I forget what it was, so you wouldn't stop saying it. When I remember, I'll tell you.
Nice. That's good. Oh, yeah, get back to me on that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's real helpful. Thank you. I have like five of them. Like is one of them. You just heard it there. But you think Bregman is kind of sneaky ripping all of his teammates if he thinks Devers is the best one he's ever had.
Yeah. If Devers is the smartest teammate that you've ever had, I feel like maybe that's a little disrespectful to some of the people that you played with in Houston.
Well, he's like, none of us in Houston were actually very good. We were just all cheating. We all knew what was happening.
What about the guy who came up with the trash can thing?
Yeah, what about that guy? Where is he? So when it comes to Alex Bregman, I would allow for this. I love the signing. I think he's a winner. I think he's a better player than Devers. So I'm on board with the Bregman experience. I will point out, even while Bregman was producing, the team was underachieving. The team sucked. It's possible he's been part of the problem. I don't think that. I haven't heard anything about that. There's been no reporting on it. But I would allow for, he got here and the team's been dysfunctional all year. I can't totally rule him out. And I guess, I heard this on my drive in. I guess people have been calling Greg's show and saying they're annoyed with Bregman not being back earlier. Like, he's really taking his time, maybe because he's looking to opt out or he's worried about his next contract, which I would argue getting on the field would probably help him more. But I guess some fans, I think it's an extreme minority, but some are starting to get a little restless about Bregman and his return.
Well, I think they set it up, the expectations, kind of strangely. Because when he first got hurt, the word was, this is so much like the prior injury he had that kept him out for months. And then pretty soon after that, Cora came out and said, actually, we're really pleased with how he's coming along. And he seems like he's going to be healthy sooner rather than later, much better than we initially expected. And now, so since then, it's kind of felt like a waiting game. And so I understand why fans would get frustrated by that. But to your point, why would holding out give him leverage? Like, if he's intending to go be a free agent, they think that if he waits around, the Red Sox are going to be so desperate to get him back from injury that they're going to rework his contract right now.
I think the argument, and again, I don't agree with it, but look, I don't really know what's going on.
I don't think that's enough leverage for that.
The idea would be, I'm going to get myself fully healthy. In other words, if he had a longer term deal, if he had 5 years guaranteed, maybe there'd be more interest on his end in rushing back to help the team, as opposed to, well, no, I'm going to get myself all the way to 100%. I'm not coming back a second early or a day early or a game early. I'm going to get myself 100%, so I am 100% when I come back. I don't re-injure anything, and then I can hit the market again. I mean, I think that would be the school of thought. I don't buy into it, but I think that would be the school of thought.
So they think he's like being selfish by looking out for number one first instead of trying to rush back and help this team that's just on the brink of success. They just need Bregman to come back and show them the way.
I mean,
even if he's still hurting a little bit. Come on now.
I think they need him.
Yeah, they definitely need him.
But at the same time, when he was out there, it's not like they were great. So
if he's not healthy, I understand rehabbing a little longer.
Yeah.
If you're not healthy, you're not healthy. Like, why would he push it right now? It's not even July.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want you to be Trevor Story playing extra games in Worcester. Okay. I don't want that.
We don't want him getting too comfortable in Worcester, that's for sure.
Or like Tristan Cassis, who was like taking his time in Worcester. Like, I don't need that.
What are they getting in Worcester? What is like the local deal there that they're getting in with that famous hot dog place?
Well, I'll tell you what. We liked Polar Park when we were there. Polar Park was nice.
Beautiful. I mean,
the area around it was pretty nice. So maybe I'm sleeping on...
Is it nicer than Boston?
Maybe I'm sleeping on Worcester. Well, I don't know. Ask Nick. Why are they all hanging in Worcester? What's their deal? Why are they all hanging there?
Oh, they upgraded the area. It's actually kind of nice now.
So there you go. Kind of nice.
Actually kind of nice.
It's yeah. a Dollar Tree about a mile away.
You heard it from the Worcester native there.
No, seriously.
It's actually kind of nice.
What is happening in Worcester that is like so great that these guys...
They renovated Kelly Square. You can get through there now.
As opposed to what?
Did you hear that? Kelly Square was a nightmare.
Close your eyes and just hope you can get through the intersection.
You close your eyes when you go through an intersection?
Oh, that one you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you hope and pray is okay. What you do.
I don't know. I guess they got to get Fenway Corners up quickly so that these guys will see how nice Boston is compared to Worcester.
That's true. Get that underway. There are three games out. This is right on the line. Keith and I talked about this last week where I think if they fall much behind that, certainly by the deadline, but even by the All-Star break, call it. If you're more than three games out, and there's a lot of teams between you and a playoff spot right now, which is another complication, but three games on some level feels manageable. You have a hot week. You're right back in a playoff spot. Just like 2 weeks ago, you were in a playoff spot, and that was after the Devers trade, FYI.
Yeah, the wild card spot that they created years ago.
So, fine, but I'm not telling
you. It is. I'm just saying. It's easier to make the playoffs than ever. And it's harder for the Red Sox over the last couple of years.
Oh, well, that's true. They keep expanding the playoffs and the Red Sox keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Keep saying nope.
That's a fair point. But, you know, when it comes to the idea of where the line is, if they should buy or sell, like right now today, let's say they're in the same exact spot. They're three games out. Should the Red Sox be buying or selling as we approach the trade deadline if this is what they're going to be?
I would say a light sell.
A light sell.
Like you're not selling Duran.
Okay.
You're not making some big sweeping move like that. You'd sell Chapman. That makes sense. He's on an expiring deal. You're probably, if you're still in this position, not a team that's going to bring him back next year anyway and rework that. So send him out, get something back, a light sell like that.
Okay. So Chapman would be the piece. You're not moving Duran. I mean, if you tell me the return on Duran, I've been saying this now for really since the Devers trade, I would do it in the right deal. You know, the Mariners want to get stupid and give you one of their starters. Same thing with the Marlins. Like, if you can get, like, a real quality starter to go along with Crochet and balance out your roster a little better, and now your outfield is some combination of Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu, and now your roster fits better together, maybe.
But to me, Jones, that
but
would be...
But I'm not
be,
itching to trade him, and be, I would be looking to add. I would not be looking to subtract. I would be looking to add.
Wouldn't that be such a signal of, like, we're done with this season?
Yeah.
Because what you'd be selling it as,
well,
there's
not,
no more... There's no,
no,
there,
not
there's
for a
no
starter.
More log jam in the outfield. Look, this is... We're refocusing on the young guys here.
But if you get a real starter, that's not a white flag. If you get prospects back, Keith said this last week, if you're trading Duran for prospects mm-hmm. like you did with Devers,
that's waving the white flag.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you're getting, I could be talked into anything with this team. I thought they were going to be in the World Series, for God's sakes. I thought they were going to be a good team this year. Well, last year, this year, most years. So I thought they were going to go on a run this year. I thought it was going to be different. So maybe me saying I could be talked into it is stupid and obvious because I could be talked into anything with this team. But I could be talked into a better roster and a playoff run by trading Duran for a big league pitcher and some help on the big league roster. If you're doing it for more minor leaguers, that is waving the white flag. Let's go to Sam in Maine. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I want to start by saying the Red Sox should buy the deadline. It starts with trading Devers. That was done for a variety of reasons. We don't know exactly what those reasons are. We can speculate on what the plan is going forward. But with all that cap space, you can spend now the deadline, take on another player's contract, or hold off and extend players that you already have, or a combination of both. But regardless, whether this team is a playoff team, which I think they still have a chance of squeezing in better than last year by far, it's important to add a deadline to help improve the team for next year.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to take on a big contract at the deadline.
Okay. Are fans going to be really disappointed when they realize at the deadline that they're not using this financial flexibility from Devers' contract being lifted to buy a bunch of players there? Or buy a big player there?
I think fans will be upset if they don't add. I don't think it's Maybe I shouldn't speak for all of them. I'm not under the illusion they're going to add a big salary at the deadline. I don't think they're
illusion,
going to.
Illusion, try delusion. Yeah. I'm not delusional about that.
I also don't think they're going to be a big player for like the Kyle Tuckers of the world in free agency. So I don't even know if they're going to turn around and use that money. I'm not bracing for that. I understand what this ownership group is and what they do. I don't approve of it. I don't think they're going to turn around and spend that money anytime soon. If they do, I'll give them credit. I don't expect it. But they should add big league players at the deadline to try to push this team. If this is the spot they're in and they don't completely fall off a cliff, which admittedly is in the range of outcomes leading up to the All-Star break, if they're in this area, three games out of a playoff spot, they should be buying. That's what I think.
There is a part of me that's just curious as to what this team would look like if you actually added at the trade deadline, because we've seen so many times chorus teams just check out when they have these bad or just lackluster trade deadlines. So if you actually added a big piece, would the team like take off to the moon? That's why I would like to just, there's a morbid curiosity for me where, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Is it binary, by the way, to kind of characterize the Devers trade by the end of the year? I mean, we're going to follow it for years and years and years. But is it binary where if they make the playoffs, the Devers trade was worth it? If they miss the playoffs, they messed up?
No.
No.
No?
No, there's too much context around it. Like, especially if they make the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, we should all look at Breslow and go, you know, you made the right move, no?
If they miss the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, they probably would have made it with Devers.
Like, if they miss the playoffs and Devers absolutely stinks out there, then you can't look at it and say, like, that was the wrong move. Unless you think unless someone from Raffy's camp comes out and says that the trade destroyed him, like, mentally and emotionally.
He still doesn't play on the field there, right? Did I miss that over the weekend? Did he go to first base?
I think he's still
DHing. Oh, interesting. Because I thought he was going to play wherever they wanted him to. I thought that's
only
what he was going to do.
Need him.
He's learning, Jones. He's learning.
Only when they need him.
Christ. So anyway, to me, it's pretty simple. They make the playoffs. Everybody who hated the trade can shut up. And if they miss it, I'm going to be wrong. Like, I think that's pretty simple. Maybe there are other areas. Or if they make the playoffs and Devers goes and wins a World Series, well, then there's more context to it. I get it. If they miss the playoffs, but they played well down the stretch, maybe there's more of a gray area to it. But sitting here today, it's pretty simple. Make the playoffs without Devers. Everybody can shut up crying about the trade. If you don't, you're going to have to deal with this, and it's going to continue to be a story. Bradford wrote about this today. He's like, if the Red Sox were just winning, the Devers trade would vanish into the background. But they keep losing. It keeps getting worse and worse, and it remains right in their face until they can start to turn things around. If they don't, they're going to be dealing with this for the next couple of months, and Breslow could pay for it with his job. 617-779-7937. More thoughts on the Red Sox coming up. Let's get back to the Bruins as well. Is there a potential reunion with Brad Marchand? Well, I should say it differently. There is a potential reunion with Brad Marchand, according to Pierre LeBrun. Are you buying that Brad Marchand could come back? Would you even want him back? That's next.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It is Mego in for Keith today. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get to you in a moment. But Pierre LeBrun thinks a potential reunion could be had between the Bruins and Brad Marchand. He says, as we await to see Brad Marchand's decision with Florida, several teams, including Boston and Toronto, Darren Drager added Utah as well, the they all hope to talk come Tuesday. NHL free agency starts less than 24 hours from now, tomorrow. If he doesn't re-sign with the Cup champs, LeBrun writes, the Bruins would certainly be open to bringing him back. The Bruins would be open to bringing him back. No reporting on the other way around. If he leaves Florida, the choices sound like Utah, which I imagine would be the high bid. That's the only way they'd get him. Toronto and Boston. If there are four teams truly in the mix for Marchand, I imagine Boston is fourth out of four. And again, the reporting from LeBrun is that they want him back. Not that he wants to come back. Good point.
They're open to it.
Oh, so was that Marchand to Don Sweeney?
To Sweeney.
Yeah, let me hear that one more time.
Go pound sand.
Yeah, that's what I think he would say. But yeah, it's not even that they want him back. It's that they would be, quote unquote, open to it. Good point.
Just open to it. You know, we love Marchie. Just bring him back if you'll take $5 million. $5 million, does that sound good? $5 million?
I don't think he'd take $5 million from Florida. Like, I don't think he's taking much of a discount from Florida. Personally, we'll find out.
At this point in his career, it would have to be because he wants to be part of something historic in Florida and have this big three-peat, and it'll be like a crazy thing for his legacy. Otherwise, even that's a stretch. Like, otherwise, why wouldn't he go to one of these other teams where he's going to get $8 million or more? He's just not going to get that in Boston. I don't think it makes sense for either side, by the way, because Boston, their whole thing now is they're trying to lay the foundation for this next era and build around Pastrnak and these young draft picks. And we both like the draft moves that they made for the most part. So, like, it feels like it would backslide and not make sense for either side.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are putting this out there for PR purposes, is what I think.
It's make just, it look nice.
Yeah. It's everything's good with him. He's not salty about it. We're open to bringing him back. When he takes a big contract elsewhere, they probably know he's going to get more money than they ever thought he was going to get. And he earned it. He went out and had a monster postseason. He won another cup. He earned it. They probably know he's going to get something ridiculous. And they can say, well, we were in and lines of communication were open, but, you know, he got a wild deal from Utah or whatever.
And that it makes it look like he's even entertaining a deal with them just makes both sides look nice, nice. Everything's nice.
Right. Especially if they're still hurting over Keith Scoop from months ago, which I'm sure Rich is somewhere rooting very hard against Marchand's return. I asked you this earlier. Contract is the same. Toronto or Boston, where would you go if you're Marchand?
I would go to Toronto.
So I thought that was kind of a no-brainer when I said it.
Hate that from like a with your heart perspective, but look where the Bruins are right now. They're in the just early, early stages of a rebuild. Marchand's what, 37, 38?
Ish, yeah.
He's not going to want to go back into that, especially after what he just went through where he won the cup. Then he comes back here again. It's a backslide. Doesn't make sense.
Brad Marchand is 37. You were right there, Nick. 37 is exactly what that was. So, yeah, thank you. I would choose Toronto, and I wouldn't think twice about it. They were a way better team than the Bruins a year ago. I know the Bruins always beat them head-to-head in the postseason. You always had Marchand for that, FYI. And I think he'd be a really good fit on Toronto. I think that's a good place for him, to be honest. Utah, he'd really be taking that last paycheck. It would really blow up the idea that he cares about having his home in Charlestown and his kid in Charlestown.
Has he tried Dovetail in Charlestown? It's a big question.
Ooh, the restaurant or the sandwich shop? I like both.
The restaurant. Haven't tried the sandwich
shop. They're both great. And so it would just blow all this to smithereens if he goes to a place like Utah. Toronto, I think, would be a really good fit, and he could be the missing piece to put them over the top. And you want to talk about a legacy.
Oh.
He won in Boston, where they won one time in 50 years. People actually look down their nose at the Leafs like, you've won so many cups here. I know you beat them head-to-head in the playoffs. It's not like you've won a bunch here. One time in 50 years.
Yeah, but you beat them.
True. That's fair. But like the idea
that... You got to look down your nose at somebody.
Toronto's some loser. Look at yourself. Then he goes to Florida, wins a second cup there, although he admittedly joined a wagon. What if you're the missing piece and you put Toronto over the top? You want to talk about a legacy.
I don't know the word that I can use is actually appropriate on radio, so I'll tell you at the break.
Oh, okay.
Good. Of what you'd be called. What you'd be called.
A BSD. That's what you'd be called. I get that. Brian is in Newton. Go ahead, Brian.
What's with the? Hi, Brian.
Brian, hello.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, sorry. I'm in the truck in Woburn.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about this whole March. There's no way he's going to Toronto. There's no way he's going to Boston. The guy's at the end of his career. He's not going to pay taxes on a $7 million contract in Toronto. He's going to stay in Florida.
Okay. Brian, you might be right about that. And I wouldn't blame Marchand if he took a little less to stay in Florida. I don't think he's taking a significant discount to stay there. Personally.
So what do you think he would take to stay in Florida?
Like,
to compete again?
What do we think his market is probably at? I think he wanted
mil
I was going to say he wanted 7 from the Bruins. He wound up getting
7.
I don't know how I walked into that one. He wanted that number. The Bruins were offering him somewhere around 6, right? I think the belief was maybe even 6.3 to get cutesy with his 63 uniform number. So, everybody should be number 99. So I would imagine, yeah, that's a good point. When you come into the league, highest number imaginable. So
everybody wants the 90s.
I would say if he can get eight somewhere else, maybe he'd take seven and a half from Florida. But like, he's not taking five, I don't think. I don't think he's taking a deep discount. So call it maybe $1 million a year to stay in Florida. Caller brings up a good point. You're saving on taxes there. So maybe it all nets out in the end, which is really all I'd care about, my take home.
What if
not what is on paper?
It's six in Boston and open bar at Warren Tavern. Does that make the difference?
He probably doesn't have to spend much at any of these places.
What's the place where you had your 40th birthday?
Oh, that is Urban Wild is what
that is. Yeah, maybe he gets free bowling at Urban Wild.
I heard he was there earlier that night. Did you hear that rumor? He was there the night of the Jones' 40th birthday.
My husband saw him outside.
Sick brag, bro.
And got so excited he dropped his wallet.
And he was in a Jager jersey, right?
Yeah.
Did Marshan compliment the Jager jersey?
I don't know, but he got flustered, dropped his wallet.
Jager jersey?
No, it was a sweet, like, I want to say powder blue Jager jersey, right? Or was it a traditional?
I don't know. He's got so many of these stupid.
It was a
jerseys.
Nice, whatever it was a nice jersey. I want to say
it was only here for like 30 games.
I want to say it was like a powder blue.
He asked me permission if he could wear that to your birthday party.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care. It's Jones' 40th birthday party. Wear whatever you want.
He's like, Jones isn't going to remember it. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, we went up to the door and we got ID'd. Brag.
Nice.
And then he had to turn around out on the street and find his wallet because he threw it up in the air when he saw Brad Marchand.
Excellent.
He was like Betty Boop. He was like, woo!
Like, I do not, that is a topical reference. I don't think he's going to be coming back anytime soon. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And Keefe will have to deal with that bed and lay down in it if Marchand's back with the Bruins.
You should have him on as a guest.
Ooh.
Maybe you could do like some kind of
look if Carrabba's and Jaren Duran
thing.
Yeah. If Carrabba's and Jaren Duran can mend fences, I'm sure Keith and Marshall.
You and Jackie Bradley.
Me and Jackie Bradley mended fences. I don't know that he even knew there was a fence to mend.
No, he didn't.
But
I heard Marcus Smart's publicist got after you.
He did. That was at the road show in Newport. Yes, mm-hmm. That is true. It was. I think it ended up fairly well.
I don't know
what you heard on that end, but yeah. I think that ended up fairly well. But yeah, that'd be like if Marcus Smart came back here in a hypothetical Anthony Simons trade. That could be problematic. 617-779-7937. More thoughts on the Red Sox and Bruins if you want to jump in. And we have the latest on the Celtics. Free agency starts tonight at 6. We'll do that next.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.